So there you go. These things that women, young girls do have to think about. How early are you meant to plan for dangerous situations? Are you meant to do a bit of a check and go, yeah, I've got my keys, I've got my phone, I've got my water bottle. All of these things can be used if I need to protect myself. What do you tell your kids? How do you have these big conversations? Well, I had a chat with Kelly Anderson, who's an instructor at Krav Maga here in the Northern Territory. And just a heads up, this chat briefly mentions stalking, domestic violence and perpetrators. So, of course, practice some self-care as always and turn the radio down if you need. But there are lots of good tips from Kelly on keeping yourself safe. In the work that you do at Krav Maga, you're an instructor there. Obviously, that's probably top of mind for you, like the way that just everyday items might need to be used as a form of self-protection?
100%, 100%. So, yeah, recent classes I've been teaching in the last week have focused on being versatile with the objects around you. What can you use? How can you use it? And also understanding that just because you have an object doesn't mean you have to use it. Sometimes it might be a detriment rather than a benefit to use that item, depending on how you're thinking to use it.
How do you work through all of that? Like, I mean, that didn't even cross my mind that it could potentially then be used against you, which is totally true. In those moments, which would be happening very quickly, how do you kind of make those distinctions that is this actually going to be an advantage to me? Is it going to be problematic? Should I just run? I mean, I'm guessing maybe that's the best thing to do in the first place.
Running is always going to be the best thing. So it really comes down to the timeline of self-defense that you're looking at. And honestly, a lot of it is your mental preparation first. So thinking about things that could happen, what you could do in those situations, and having that mental preparation there already. When people get caught in the moment is when they tend to freeze and don't know what to do. You want to think ahead, basically, and then have ideas of how you might use things, but also weigh up the pros and the cons, how those things will be useful, how those things will be potentially used against you, and then weigh up, is it worth it? But ultimately, a big part of my emphasis is on what happens before an incident happens and what can you do to avoid or prevent that thing from happening? Because that's the last thing you want, is to be in a physical situation. You want to get home safe.
What are the things that can prevent these situations?
Being aware of things like body language, dangerous places, so transition places between, say, the shops and your car, if you're going to the car park. Car parks up here are notorious for things happening. Talking to people as well. I've learnt a lot. I'm not originally from Darwin, so moving up here, talking to people, learning different things that happen has helped build my awareness of what goes on in different spaces and where I need to be a little bit more switched on. So it can be a simple matter of, okay, I'm sort of fairly switched on when I'm in the shops or at home, but then when I go out, okay, I'm going out in public, things can happen, so I'm going to be a lot more aware of surroundings, people, environment, what's normal in people's behavior, what's normal in an environment, and then looking for what's different and then weighing up, is it different but okay, or is it different and dangerous? Do I need to be sort of starting to think about my options if things were to go south? So thinking ahead is really, really important. All the physical stuff, that's if you've stuffed up. If you've stuffed up the prevention or you've been unaware for whatever reason, then it's the physical, then it's a lot more dicey.
It's kind of, how do you feel about the fact that we have to think about all of these things?
It's a fact of life. Violence is not new to our species. Violence has always been there. People have preyed on other people for centuries, if not more. So it is a fact of life. There are different reasons why people prey on other people. So accepting that people can be predators is the first step, and then deciding, okay, how am I going to be ahead of the predators?
Jess Ong with you this afternoon on 105.7 ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory, having a chat to Kelly Anderson, who's an instructor at Krav Maga Darwin. I don't know if you saw a clip recently from the Graham Norton show. The actor Saoirse Ronan was the lone woman on the panel alongside actors Denzel Washington, Paul Mescal and Eddie Redmayne. And of course, Graham Norton was hosting it. A bit of a flippant comment made about having to use a mobile phone potentially to protect oneself. One of the male actors made this comment. And Saoirse came out and said, well, that's something that girls and women have to think about. That's something we're considering all the time. Really curious to know if you feel comfortable sharing some of your stories or experiences. Is this stuff that you've had to think about? Is it stuff that you've talked about with your children? How young have you started these conversations with your children, with your kids around how to protect themselves? Is it something that was taught to you, or did you just have to learn about it? I'd love to hear some of your stories. Of course, you can remain anonymous, only reveal so much that is comfortable for you. But let me know. You can give me a call on 1300 057 222. So, Kelly, obviously Krav Maga is a form of self-defense. Who are the people who come to Krav Maga, engage in these classes?
We get a mix of people. So we get men and women. We've got kids as well. Pretty much every demographic, and all good people who just want to be safe in the world and learn some skills, get some good endorphins from physical training as well. It's a mental and physical benefit, and it just gets you in that mindset to be prepared. If something were to happen, okay, I've got options.
You run classes for kids. So how young are the kids? Like, I've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Should they be there?
So the kids classes, I don't personally run them at the moment, but they start at 5, I believe, 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. And do you get lots of kids coming along at that age?
There are lots of kids, lots and lots of kids. So at that age, it is about things like coordination, being comfortable in your body physically, knowing what you can do, and then being aware of different things to do with kids' issues. So you've got bullies on the one hand, you've got sort of your other perpetrators on the other hand. Yeah, how can they be switched on to notice when something's a little bit off, paying attention to their intuition, and then having options to work with that as well, whether it's running away, whether it's yelling out, and not being afraid to do those things as well. Often we keep ourselves very quiet. Mm. We don't want to disturb other people, but it's flipping that switch to go, hey, I want as much attention as possible because this isn't right. I need help. I'm going to make noise and get attention.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because we do, you know, when kids are yelling and screaming, you know, unfortunately, the majority of adults in society are always like, oh, that kid be quiet already. And then we kind of, you know, condition our kids to be quiet because we don't want them to, you know, be an inconvenience to other people. So then it is thing of being like, well, actually, you need to rely on your senses here to know that now is the time to be loud.
Yep, 100%. And it really does come down to tuning into your senses. Understand what your senses are telling you, because they are feeding your intuition. And where that feeling of fear comes up, fear is the great messenger of whether you're safe or not. If fear is present, you need to move. You need to do something, because your body is telling you, even before you consciously know what's going on, that you're in danger. And you need to do something.
Mm, that's a really
and
powerful.
All of us have it. All of us have it, and we tend to dismiss it or play it down. But definitely tuning into that is a key part of your self-defense toolkit.
And then I just think, like, the fact that all of us, most of the time, are walking around with phones in our hand, distracted, or with headphones on.
Yep.
That just must be
perfect targets in a lot of ways.
So how do you deal with that as well?
Again, it comes down to understanding where you are and what the risks are. So if I'm at home, if I'm at the shops, I might be glancing at my phone, but I'm also looking around at the people around me. What are they doing? What's their attention like? If I'm moving into, say, a car park or a transition space, phone goes away and I want all my senses available to me. And that includes my hands. So if my phone is in my pocket, I have both hands ready to use, rather than having a hand that's caught up with a phone.
You're hearing from Kelly Anderson this afternoon, having a chat to me, Jess Ong, on ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory. Kelly's an instructor at Krav Maga Darwin, talking about ways to keep yourself safe, the things that you've got to consider, mostly women have to consider, because there is a lot of stuff to think about, or, you know, unfortunately, have to be scared about. You've got to be on your game all the time, constantly assessing your surroundings. Would love to know some of your experiences, if you're comfortable sharing it. How have you spoken to your kids about stranger danger? Is it something that you've talked about? Do you remember having stranger danger talked about at school? Is it a concept that still exists? Or is everyone really, well, I guess everyone's a stranger, aren't they? But we're interacting with strangers online these days so much as well. So how do you distinguish who to trust and who you can't, especially through the eyes of a child? Would love to know some of your thoughts. 1300 057 222 is the number to call. Kelly, you also hold women-only classes at Krav Maga. Mm-hmm. So how is that different to the general classes? What sort of things do you really focus on?
So I like to have classes where people can ask questions, and questions that are relevant to things that they've experienced personally or things that are going on in their lives at the moment. I have a little bit more freedom with that in the women's class, because often we come in with stories. Something's just happened. Mm. Something's happened to a friend of a friend.
Is that often what brings people to the classes in the first place?
Sometimes, not always. So me personally, I started Crab because I needed something different. It was going to be fun, something physical after years of study. But on the other hand, there are people who come because something has happened. Mm. So it really is a mixed bag.
And what, I mean, Kelly, like, you know, obviously go into as much detail as you feel comfortable, but what are some of the stories that you hear?
It can be anything from people attacked in nightclubs to people attacked on the street. Different demographics of attackers as well. When you talk about stranger danger, it's partly that is a smaller percentage of attacks that happen, but often it is people that are known to the woman in some way, whether it's family, friends, co-workers, someone on the periphery. But overarching all of that, rather than stranger danger, I encourage people to look for strange behaviors. So it's the behaviours that you want to tune into, not necessarily whether you don't know someone, because there are plenty of good people out there who will help you if needed. And then the odd few that will perpetrate in the way that we think is stranger danger. But statistically, it's more likely to be someone that she knows. So then we start to move into things like intimate partner violence, domestic violence, stalking, all that kind of thing, where the perpetrator is known to her.
Yeah, it's a big conversation, isn't it? And something that's definitely not going away.
And
it's,
I can go on many, many tangents.
Yeah, it's unfortunately embedded in our community, and it's a way of just having these conversations that are often uncomfortable and quite confronting. Of course, if you or anyone close to you needs to talk to anyone, you can always reach out to Lifeline on 13 11 14 and do practice self-care if this conversation is a little bit confronting for you. Jess Ong's my name, hanging out with you on ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory. You're hearing from Kelly Anderson, who's an instructor at Krav Maga here in the Northern Territory. So Kelly, I mean, if you're talking to a group in a class of yours and you're talking about, you know, everyday items that you can use for protection, like you said, you obviously need to weigh up the pros and cons about whether this could be used against you as well. But if you did have to use some items, like one thing I've thought about is filling my water bottle up and having like a relatively full water bottle that I could swing and hopefully knock someone out. Yeah, you know, keys in between the fingers. Like, is that sort of still the same?
Not in between the fingers. Please don't do that.
Okay, why not?
On impact with a body, for example, firstly, do you know how to punch with it? But secondly, that impact with the body, the keys are going to slice through your fingers on the way through. So I wouldn't recommend that. Keys ready to get into your car or your home, absolutely. But again, it comes down to that timeline of self-defense and looking ahead, giving yourself as much time as possible when you spot something that's a little bit off. And responding to that feeling that you get. So then you have options for things like barriers, things like a car or several cars between you and that person, or looking for places that you can escape to. When it gets closer, it's potentially things that you could throw to distract, so throwing towards the eyes, potentially following that up with a strike if you had to. Things that can be used as shields if there's a person coming in to attack physically. But it's one of those things, we are a little bit tied up with what we can use for self-defense in Australia. The laws are pretty strict on what you can and can't have. So really it's coming down to thinking ahead, planning ahead, spotting things early so you don't have to be involved physically in something.
That's the last thing you want really, isn't it?
It's
to have a physical altercation.
Yeah. But certainly have a look at the items around you at any given time and go, what are different ways I could use this? You know, could I hit someone over the head with it? And then you've also got the mental barrier of, are you okay with the concept of you hitting somebody and hurting somebody? It's quite a barrier mentally to cross. And I even see that with some of the guys that train with us as well. So guys aren't naturally aggressive necessarily. There are plenty of good people that come and have to learn to overcome that barrier as well.
And I mean, that's a good thing, right? Like that's what we want
most
of the time for everyone to not be physically minded, only in the moments that it matters. And it's just a case of working out when those moments are.
And it's having that switch in your mind that you can flip from, hey, I'm a good person going about my day, being able to flip into, I am going to do whatever I can to survive and get out of there quickly, because it's all about creating the opportunity to escape. Being able to switch on to that, which physical training is fantastic for working on different mental strategies to get there as well.
That's Kelly Anderson having a chat with me earlier. She's an instructor at Krav Maga here in the Northern Territory. Of course, if any of that conversation has brought things up for you, you can reach out on 1-800-RESPECT. You can also call Kids Helpline on 1-800-55-1800 and, of course, 000 if you're in an emergency.